6:12 in the morning. Hello to Pete McMurray. Yep. Oh, Pete. Pete, oh, there you are.
Hey, hello, how you doing?
Couldn't find
Good to be here.
Couldn't find your microphone.
Yeah.
Pete's on from 7 to 11 at night, and he's no fool. He knows that if he's not going to be on the air, what's the best way to market Pete McMurray?
Right.
And that's to be on the air.
Right.
So normally you'd be on the air from 7 to 11. You're not. What would you be doing at this hour?
I'd be getting
sleeping,
my
right?
son ready for school.
Oh, you do get up every morning?
Yeah.
Do you nap?
No.
So when you go to bed?
I mean, I go to bed at midnight and wake up at 6:30.
All right, so you're getting plenty
of sleep. Oh, yeah, I'd be waking up right about now.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, I'm glad you're here. Now, I don't have any idea what we'll do, but you should just hang out. We'll figure out something. Because Pete doesn't have a show tonight. You really don't have a show all week, right?
No, I don't have a show all week. We have a show Friday from 10:30 until 11. Yeah.
You're preparing that one yet?
Yep, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Spending the week.
All right, well, that's good. That's good. Michael Smalara, S-M-A-L-A-R-A, was the winning haiku yesterday for all you guys that sent in your ridiculous Blackhawks poetry. Some of it actually very good.
It was very good. Do you have the one that won?
We asked. We wanted to class this up as much as possible because it had sort of a raven tint to it.
Yeah,
an Edgar Allan Poe thing.
Because a crow, you know, with Corey Crawford.
So we asked our very good friend Claire from our sales department, who's great, who claims she's British.
She has one of the sexiest voices ever.
She does.
Hello, darling.
Oh, it's my favorite.
So, Claire.
Did she say that to you, too?
Yeah, all the time. Yeah.
I thought she just said it to me in the hallway.
Okay, it's just you, if that makes you feel better. Claire did the poem. Here's Michael Smalara's work.
How many goals will the Wild score? Quote, Corey Crawford. Nevermore, what shall be this series' lore? Quote, John Quenville, Hawks in four.
All right.
Obviously, a die-hard Hawks fan.
We should have
our Claire knows that Coach John Quenville would approve.
Oops. Everything sounds better, though, in a British accent.
Yeah, it does.
Even if you screw up the name, it's fine.
Doesn't even matter.
It's funny, not if you're from London. I don't think so. I think it has less of an impact.
She could call you a jerk, and you'd be like, aw, Claire.
Yeah, it is fun to be insulted by her. We don't get out much here. Michael Smalara. By the way, charge Michael for having Claire do that. So, and then give the money to Claire. One other note, friends at Wintrust Community Banks, of course, we give away the road trip to Minneapolis for Friday night's game. Invite you to join another free small business mentoring day. Join them today from 8 to 4:30 at Wintrust Financial Center in Rosemont. Free event with a keynote delivered by Dr. Sonat Bernerker Hart, president of Koval Distillery. And you can learn a whole bunch of stuff about marketing to grow sales, top 30 negotiating tips for winners. Go to wintrust.com/mentoring. Jameis Winston is an idiot. The Heisman Trophy winner, who is he was the presumptive number one draft choice. He's not going to be the number one draft choice now. But
he's got another year. He's got to wait. NFL draft eligibility thing.
Is that what? I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I thought he was a junior.
Well, he was a freshman last year.
Well, so he's only 20.
Yeah.
All right, so the NFL rules, he's got to wait another year. Well, he's still an idiot. So therefore, he's earned his way into stupid camp for stealing seafood.
You know what that sound means. Welcome to stupid camp.
Stupid camp, little place, and right on the border of South Dakota and North Dakota. Well, I have annexed some land at great personal expense, Pete, and what we do is we put stupid people in there. That way we know where they are.
And he deserves to be there.
He stole $32 worth of crab legs. And what was it? Crab legs and something else.
Crawfish.
Crab legs and crawfish.
Didn't he put them in his pants?
Yes.
Didn't he put them in his pants?
That was a party trick.
Yeah.
I got crawfish in my pants, and I'm happy to see you. crab legs and crawfish, $32 worth. He initially said he forgot to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I brought this up. I can't tell you the number of times I've walked out of Jewel or Target or Costco. One time I walked out of Sears. I actually rode out on a ride-on lawnmower. I said, what am I forgetting? And I was halfway across the parking lot driving the ride-on lawnmower.
At least you didn't put it in your pants.
No. Yeah. Those would have been some big pants.
You ever been to a Publix grocery store?
Yeah.
How are the crab legs?
Yeah.
At least
I used to live in the South. Publix is a big Southern grocery chain. It's in other parts of the country as well. But Publix is a fine store. But Publix does have one stated thing that they do, you got to pay.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to take stuff out, you got to pay. They're funny about that.
The best part about that story, though, is the pictures that have been made.
Yeah, the
meme. I have my background on my computer upstairs in the sports office now is the picture of Jameis Winston where it looks, you know, when the one where he's holding the national championship trophy.
Oh, yeah.
But instead they put crab legs in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that will just bring a smile to my face every day that I walk into this radio station.
Well, the other thing that's curious to me about Jameis Winston, after you escape something as serious as a sexual assault charge, I'm pretty sure you're going to be careful not to have another run-in with the law.
Yeah.
He wasn't so smart. He's now in stupid camp. And when we come back after traffic, Mary, we've got some other legendarily stupid athletes. We'll see how many of these Pete remember. Rers. Pete remember. Rers. I'm going to be in stupid camp by 6:30. First, here's traffic. What's up? Pete McMurray here, essentially show business homeless until the
week
is up. Thank
you for having me, by the way. This is nice.
And thanks for being here. You have been a big sports fan your whole life, of course, during the football season.
Yes.
You are the host of the Three Bears. Two and a half Bears. And now, is there a chance this coming football season you'll get a promotion to like three quarters of a bear?
I think I'm completely out, 100%.
So it's Hamp, the little hamster?
Yes.
Kaz and you?
Yes.
All right. But you also love hockey?
Yes.
Love baseball?
Yes.
You a hoops guy, too?
Yeah. I'd like to think I still have a little game.
Any sports you're not a fan of?
I'm
soccer? World
not
Cup
really a fan of soccer.
I like soccer.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't really follow it growing up. Yeah. You know, when you have older brothers, you play sports, and you start following it.
Now, the older brothers, when they would play sports, would it just be pound on Pete?
Oh,
would that be one of the sports?
Beat the crap out of me. Yeah, it was terrible. It was rough.
So are you the youngest?
I am, let's see, I'm not the youngest boy. There's one.
He's got 11.
Now,
I would give
there's
Pete
four.
A hard time about this, but he literally has 11 siblings.
Do you know all their birthdays and age? I mean, can
their
if
birthdays,
I said...
Do you know their names?
Yeah, I know their names, birthdays, almost. Yeah, most of them.
That's
sure.
Not good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing for your Mother's Day for your mom?
I don't know. Oh, you know what? I have older sisters, so I think we're getting her yard work done.
Mother's Day for your mom must be like Oprah's favorite thing day with 11 kids.
I think last year we bought her a front door last year, the year before a new dishwasher. Yeah, she gets some nice
things. Yeah, I mean, 11 kids.
She really does.
It's a nice cache.
Yeah.
You guys don't all chip in, though, right?
We all chip in.
Yeah, for one gift?
See,
yeah, but that way you can get the big gift.
Wouldn't you want a bunch of gifts, though?
No. She's got a nice dishwasher, brand new front door. This year she's going to have yard work,
but
new bushes.
But divided by 11, that's only, what, like 12 bucks a person? Or?
Yeah.
But the expectations are going to be astronomical for every gift.
It's rough. Yeah, it really is.
I was talking about Jameis Winston, list from Bleacher Report on the dumbest athlete excuses of all time. Young Chicago Cub player once said it was an accident they used a cork bat during a game. Remember him? You remember the little cork balls? And by the way, I think that applies in a lot of ways. The little cork balls that came out of the bat, and Sammy said that was his batting practice bat?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Like, remember in the home run derby at Miller Park in 2002 when he was hitting baseballs basically back to Chicago? Oh,
yeah.
You weren't using a cork bat. Sure. Because normal people hit balls 700 feet.
Yeah, and does he ever get a statue? Sammy ever get a statue?
No.
Sammy ever get welcome back?
I think so.
I'm not so sure.
Yeah. I mean, there have been people banging on that drum about bringing him back and, you know, having him. I don't see how you do it. I mean, it's not going
to
be easy.
It might feel unfair, but the difference is, as sports fans, we get to be hypocrites. As the guy that played in the game, you not so much. So even though he's not convicted, there's not a single person with any sense of a sports IQ that believes he played the game clean.
Right. Well, he was in the Mitchell Report. So, I mean, that investigation.
If he comes clean and apologizes.
That would be a different story.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a different story. It's a good point. Nate Burleson with the Detroit Lions. he's a good player, wideout. He was driving home, and he didn't know what to tell not only his team – with his wife when he had to be taken to the hospital. Do you remember the story? It's just a couple of years ago. Do you remember what happened to him?
Is this the pizza thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said he had an accident, and turns out he didn't have an accident. One of the pizzas he had ordered was starting to slide off the seat, and he went to grab the pizza and got burned by the pizza and then had the accident. I got to admit, though, if you try, if you have a car accident because you're trying to save a pizza, I'm not against lying.
Passenger seat buffet.
Would you not grab that pizza? I'd do the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Ricky, you know, there was just nobody quite like him. Ricky Henderson, is he still the greatest stolen base artist of all time? By far, right? When he beat Brock's number, didn't he beat it big?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. When playing for the Toronto Blue Jays, he passed out with an ice pack on his ankle and gave himself frostbite.
You know that he once checked into a hotel trying to use an alias under the name Rick Henderson? I'm not kidding. He thought that that was enough. Yeah. Genius.
Not very bright.
Michael Vick, famous for a lot of things. A lot of people don't remember this. He was arrested at the Miami airport. His water bottle got him busted because cops found a hidden compartment with weed in it. The hidden compartment was a plastic door with a sticker on it. Oh, how will the inspectors ever see this?
Did the sticker say, look here?
Weed compartment. Jermaine O'Neal, just in the past season, had to sit out a game earlier this season. He's got to be, how old is Jermaine O'Neal? He's got to be 100 now.
Yeah, he's up there.
The Golden State Warriors. Had to sit out a game against the Raptors because Canada wouldn't let him into the country. Are you wondering why he couldn't get into the country?
That was my next question.
He didn't have his papers. He didn't have his little blue book to play in another country. And since he didn't bring it with him and the team secretary didn't catch it, he'd go, you guys have fun. I'll be here in Buffalo. Pick me up on the way back. Let me see if I can find one more. These are great. And you can go to bleacherreport.com. Great, stupid excuses. 2005, a Rockies shortstop named Clint Barmas. I don't remember.
Clint Barmas, yeah.
Is he still playing?
I don't think so. He was with Pittsburgh a couple of years ago. I don't know if he's still in the game.
He claimed an injury that would keep him out of the game happened when he was carrying groceries up some stairs to help a neighbor.
Yeah.
Turns out it was deer meat that he and his teammate Todd Helton had shot illegally on a hunting trip.
Oh.
Yeah. Groceries.
Yeah. Bringing the groceries. Mm-hmm. 629, learn how real Chicagoans live day to day with successes with health and fitness and food. Are you in Living Healthy Chicago?
I am not, but Jane Monzuris is the host of Living Healthy Chicago.
Good is friend. That the woman that came in here and told me she doesn't listen to me?
Yep.
Yeah. That's Jane.
She said, what big time?
Always says the wrong thing.
What big fan of on? Jane. Let me just mention her show is on Sundays at 11:30 in the morning.
Is that the right time?
It actually is the right time. Jane went out of the way to come in here and tell me she doesn't listen to the show, but she is awake at this hour.
Didn't she say, who are you?
No, she didn't throw that in. She could have. There was something else, too. Like, she listens to somebody else or... Yeah. Like she had, she made it very clear that she had actively chosen not to listen to the show.
Right, right.
Friend of yours?
Yeah, yeah.
So good. Her show's on at midnight?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, it's 11:30 in the morning on Sundays. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's great.
Yeah.
I'll have to catch it sometime. We'll get your news in a second at 720 WGN. The great Karen Conti.
You want answers?
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
She's on TV. She's on the radio.
Oh, guilty, but with a real good excuse.
Oh, yeah, and she's a lawyer.
You can't handle the truth.
Call the first witness.
Pete, do you have a lawyer?
I do, yes.
Not as good as Karen Conti.
No, not at all.
Karen Conti's on Sunday nights, and you can hear Karen Conti on WGN. You still out with Noonan?
I am, from 8 to 9 in the evening.
All right, that's Sunday nights, and you also see her on Fox, you see her on CNN, you see her a lot of places because she never stops working. If we want to call you at the office and tell you the truth about what felons we are, what do we do?
Call me at 312-332-7800.
And the email address?
That's kconti, K-C-O-N-T-I, at kcontilaw.com.
All right, so Pete, the way we do this, Pete McMurray's here because he has nowhere to go because he doesn't have a show all week.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
And by the way, feel free. You're not going to offend me.
Okay.
Karen's my friend. If you ever have an opportunity to have a legal discussion on the show, forget about your fly-by-night attorney, whatever crook you're using. You call Karen. and put Karen on the air. She'll set you straight.
I've worked with her before when you were on vacation.
Yeah,
she's great.
There you go. All right, Karen, so people know how we do this. We pick two or three headline stories that you send us. We talk about those, and then we take calls from the felons in the audience who claim it's their brother, their sister, their cousin, and they have a story to tell. 312-981-7200 or texters at 247-20. Public prayer in New York at town council meetings. This is not going to happen, is it?
Yes, it is going to happen. The Supreme Court of the United States said that it is okay for a legislative body to open up its governmental meetings with a prayer. I'm actually very surprised at this ruling, and I'm a little bit concerned about it. I mean, I don't think people hate prayer, and I think most people think that that's not a bad thing. But you know what, Steve? I was just thinking of the analogy. If you are a Christian person and you're a faith, you have faith and you believe in God, and every morning in your government job there is an atheist prayer that talks about how you shouldn't believe in God,
right,
and that why being an atheist is the way to go. How would you feel every morning being inundated with that prayer or whatever you want to call
it? Wouldn't be good. Would not be good.
I don't think that would be good. I think I would be offended. And that's why I say for even the religious people who do pray and who do go to church, why do you want the government getting into your business and into your religion? Because your religion is very private, whether you're a Muslim, whether you're a Christian, whether you're a Jewish person. It doesn't matter. You need to do that on your own. And the government stepping in, I don't know, that frightens me just a little bit.
One of the things I've learned from you over the years, everything in the law is about precedent. You set a precedent in that seemingly small way, it can come back and bite you in bigger ways. And I would agree with you. And I go to church pretty much every Sunday. But I have no problem praying in the car before I go into a government facility.
Right.
And sometimes that's the right place to pray, right before you go in, especially if it's court. Separation of church and state exists for a reason. Pete, you know what I'm talking about?
Why not a moment of silence? Why do they have to have a
moment
prayer?
Of silence where you could say anything you want to say to yourself?
Right. Yes.
I think that would solve a lot. I think it would solve the school issue. I think it would solve all of it. The great thing would be if you could mic up a little kid's head during a moment of silence and just hear what's in their head.
Yeah.
So
nothing to do with religion, I would imagine. Like, what's for lunch and
right.
How cute is the girl next to me?
I got to pee. That would be the thing. All right. So there's this notion, and it seems to be a TV movie of the week notion most of the time, that, you know, a guy commits a crime when he's young. He somehow escapes capture. He lives a life under a different identity, but he does the right thing, and he tries to live his life fairly and rightly. Somewhere down the road, he gets caught. Does he go to jail? Is that the end of the movie? Or has he done enough where maybe the conviction is thrown out? What's the answer?
Well, in this case, in this guy, I forgot what city it's in, but he does a crime. He does his robbery. And for
St. Charles, Missouri, a suburb of St. Louis.
Missouri. Yeah, for some clerical reason, they don't put him in jail. He even asks about it. He has his lawyer, what's going on? Why am I not going in for my sentence? 13 years later, they finally realize it. How they realize it, I have no idea. And now he faces, you know, being in jail for 13 years. And interestingly, I think very correctly, the judge said, listen, you know, it wasn't your mistake. You weren't fleeing from the law. You know, we just made a mistake. And you did what most prisons do not do. You have rehabilitated. You have a family. You have a job. You have a business. You're a law-abiding citizen. You pay taxes. You've done nothing to follow the law. You know what? We're going to let you go. And I'm a little surprised at that, but I think that's probably, in this case, a very good outcome.
It was convicted of taking part in a robbery at a Burger King back in 1999. There was, I don't know if there was a gun involved. No one was injured in the burglary. But as you said, he even looked into, hey, shouldn't you guys be picking me up? You know, shouldn't you pick me up? I should probably be in jail by now. And no one did. I'm conflicted by this one because to me, Pete, I don't know about you. To me, it seems like just, again, a precedent to send a message and maybe even a message to his family, his neighbors, his kids who all know about this now to do the right thing. Maybe you give him 3 months, you know, some sort of thing to send him away for the crime he did commit. I don't know.
He turned around his life. He turned around his life and he was when they arrested him, he was taking care of his kids. He was making them breakfast and the SWAT team came to his house.
Right.
He's completely turned around his life, and he's, you know, he's rehabilitated. Why wouldn't you give him a second chance?
So you and Karen are all voting me on this?
I agree with Karen.
I think
yes.
the difference here is that he did not purposely evade, okay?
Right.
If he was on the lam and he was doing, then, yes, you can't encourage people to run and to create a new identity and run from the law. This guy did not create a new identity. He was using his name. He was sitting out there in the community doing nothing other than, you know, looking behind his back just to make sure no one was going to arrest him. But, I mean, I do think the judge made a good point here, which is he did rehabilitate. And, you know, prisons aren't very good at that. They're supposed to be doing that. They're supposed to be making the people inside not want to go back in again and give them skills. But we all know prisons don't do that. And this guy rehabilitated himself. I know. I like the end of the story.
So one more, and then we'll take your calls again, 312-981-7200 or texters at 24720. We had a case out in Wyoming, North Dakota, where a judge basically blamed the girl for being involved with, I think it was a teacher. There was a sexual assault. The guy basically got no sentence. That case is being retried, revisited. The judge is possibly going to lose his seat on the bench. In the midst of all of this, now there's a news story out of Texas where a judge is under fire for a rape sentence for possibly implying the victim was promiscuous. What do we know about this?
Well, in this case, it was a female judge, which is interesting. It was a guy who was, I believe he was young. He was a classmate of the girl. The girl was 14. He was, I think, I don't know, 19 or something.
20.
And so it was rape, and they decided it was rape. But the judge said, listen, this little 14-year-old had three sex partners and had already given birth. This is not a typical case. And even though he used excessive force and he didn't stop when she said stop, we're going to go easy on you. We're going to give you 45 days, 5 years probation. And my favorite is we're going to give you community service where you have to serve it in a rape crisis center.
I agree with that, but this is an outrageous sentence, and I think it's dangerous. Because I don't care if it's the biggest whore in town. No is no. You can't. If you ever go back on no means no, then all bets are off.
Absolutely right. It just showed, I think, you know, a real prejudice, even among women, of focus on the victim instead of the act and the crime. And again, if it was consensual, I think I would even feel a little bit different about it, even though that's against the law, too. But this was forceful rape. And, you know, community service or rape crisis hotline, the rape people said, we don't do that. We don't put rapists in our center. This
right.
is for victims. I mean,
right.
this just showed across the board insensitivity to the issues.
Yeah, and at 14, look, if she'd been pregnant twice at 14, that doesn't show she's making adult decisions.
Right.
That shows she's making terrible decisions.
That's right.
So that's a disappointing thing. All right, we got a couple of questions. When we come back, we'll get as many in as we can. Stand by and hold on. Karen Conti. More with Pete McMurray taking over the Steve Cochran Show. Obviously, there's a plan on 720 WGN. Steve Cochran Show number 162. By the way, we got to put this somewhere where people can see it. We've got a new, very elaborate numbering system. So for people watching on the stream, they'll be able to see exactly what show it is.
So you've played a full baseball season.
We get a ring card girl to walk this around.
There's a smudge on the top part.
There's a smudge on the show?
There's a smudge on the show.
It's an erase board from Walgreens.
Yes, a weight board.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Karen Conti standing by, legal guru, expert, tremendous, longtime friend of the show and friend of mine. And Karen, again, phone number at the office.
312-332-7800 or email me. Sometimes that's better. We can put all the facts in there, and I can maybe give you a quick referral.
Sure.
KContiLaw.com.
Before we get to Cheryl, again, let me reintroduce Pete McMurray. He doesn't have any shows this week, so he's hanging around here and sucking up to Karen Conti.
I'd say that's called loitering.
Loitering.
Yes,
oh,
I like that.
Look
I like Karen.
Loitering.
Yep. That's my legal opinion. Yep.
All right, Cheryl's on the phone. What's your question for Karen, Cheryl?
Hi, Karen. Hi, Steve.
Hi,
Cheryl. My brother, who was a resident of Denver, passed away.
Sorry to hear that.
And thank you. And his pension investments show his ex-wife is the beneficiary. However, his divorce decree stipulates neither can claim the other's pension. Will the funds be distributed to her? I have notified the fund, the investment company, of the situation, and they have asked for a letter of instruction.
Okay, Cheryl, let me just, I'm not sure I heard it, but did you say that in the divorce decree, the pension does not go to the ex-wife?
That's correct. It stipulates neither my brother nor her could claim the other's pension.
Okay. So here's, and I, again, I'm not a lawyer in Colorado, so I'm going to be giving you advice, or not really giving you advice, giving you some instruction that would be an Illinois rule. After people get divorced and there's an issue with pension, let's just say that I'm entitled to half of my husband's pension, my lawyer will put together what we call a quadro, qualified domestic relations order, and that goes onto the pension. And it directs the pension company to do whatever the divorce decree says. Now, in this case, obviously that nothing was done because there was no right to a pension, and he didn't change the beneficiary. In my opinion, I believe the divorce decree is going to control. And what you'll probably have to do, if it's worth it, and it probably sounds like it is to get a lawyer to go in to the divorce court or go into some court. Get a court order that directs the pension company to do the right thing here, because they're going to be conflicted. They're going to have the documentation from the divorce. They're going to have the beneficiary paperwork, and they're not going to know what to do, and they don't want to make the wrong.
In Illinois, what would supersede?
The divorce decree would supersede. But again, we would have had maybe some other steps taken after that to secure that.
It's an interesting question, right? Because it's got to come up all the time.
It does, and that's why we have these quadros. That's why you make sure that you have these entrants, so the pension companies or whoever sets these things up, sometimes it's unions, they need to know exactly what to do.
I've long thought that life insurance companies, when they sell you life insurance, there ought to be literally a template of the paperwork you need when you die. So not only are you setting your family up for the financial end, you're also... All right, quickly, one more from the 847. I work as an ER nurse. We have people who get narcotics in ER all the time, and they always say, no, it's okay, I have a ride. But then we see them driving off after getting Dilaudid or Vicodin. My question is, like a bartender, do I, as a health professional, who knowingly lets a person under the influence drive and get in an accident, have any liability? It's a huge problem. We see it every day.
That's very interesting. I would say the answer is yes. I would say that you are held to a very high standard when you're a professional, whether you're a doctor or a nurse in an ER situation or, you know, in a hospital, and that if you know and you have reason to believe that person really is going to drive, I even think that, I mean, the rules in the hospital are pretty strict that you don't allow people to drive home, no matter what. So if you're violating your hospital's own internal policy, I think that that's going to be negligence. And so I think that not only are you going to be negligent, but your hospital or your doctor's office will be negligent as well.
I may be reading through too much into the text, but it seems to be the texture is indicating that that's not the policy and it's a judgment call. And it would seem that it would be more important that the hospital get their act together and not allow it to be a judgment call and just make it a policy.
Well, right, but I mean, if it says on your Vicodin bottle, do not drive, do not operate a machinery or a car when you're taking it, and you give the person Vicodin, they aren't supposed to drive. And if you know they are, I would say that you have a duty to do something about it.
Well, good for this person for reaching out, right?
Yeah, good for you.
When do you want again, Sunday night?
Sunday night from 8 to 9.
Well, hope you and your new best friend Pete have a good time.
Yes, and stop loitering and
love hearing your
job,
Karen.
I guess.
You're the best.
All right, Karen. Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye. Have a good day.
Greg Karen County. Listen weekday mornings at 7:20 for your chance to win the daily $720 money clip on Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago.